Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Fred Obiero.
Hello, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast. My guest today is Frederick Meinhardt, CEO and co-founder of SecFi. Hey, Frederick. Hope I mentioned your last name correctly.
You sure did. Hey, Fred. Thanks for having me here.
Wonderful. Before we start this episode, I have one small request to our listeners. As we continue to grow the Ivy Podcast, we would appreciate if you took just a minute of your time to leave us a review on the show, because reviews make a huge difference to podcast channels like ours. Now, time for the episode with Frederick. So, Fred, give us an introduction about yourself and your background, and briefly describe what led to you co-founding your company.
Yeah, sure. And we're name buddies, so I love that.
Yeah, it's a Fred podcast today.
Exactly, it's a Fred and Fred podcast today. No, would love to, and thanks for having me. A bit about myself. Like, I think you could call me sort of a nerd by heart. My background comes from computer science, but ever since I started working, I've worked in consulting and strategy consulting. So maybe a strategist by training, nerd by heart. Uh-huh. I spent my early days in the corporate world, and at some point I think got hungry, or at least excited about all the venture news you saw, even a couple of years ago. And it got me to join this fast growing startup company overseas. Uh-huh. Joined it as part of, I think it was employee number 30 at that company, heading the corporate development team. Loads of fun, such a different experience, right? Compared to working in a corporate environment and you join a startup where everybody's running in sometimes all kinds of different directions, but the amount of energy you see and the amount of passion you see from people working there, it's astonishing. And I got hooked, I think, immediately, just as I think many people do that end up working in startups. And this leads a little bit into the story, a bit about myself and my background, but also uh-huh. How SecFi got founded is that, this is the first time joining a startup company. And what happens in most startups is that, you usually take a little bit of a pay cut, right? Because that's what startups don't have. They don't have a lot of money compared to
not a lot of cash.
Not a lot of cash on hand, but what do they do have? Well, they do have a potentially really interesting company, which you believe in, otherwise you wouldn't join. And you get the opportunity to own a piece of the company, right? Through equity. Right. That's really what equity is all about. You own a small piece or share of the company. And I had that same opportunity. And how that is usually structured, same for this startup, is that you don't get equity outright. It's very hard to give, because then I would need to buy the shares immediately, and I didn't have that kind of money. But you get the option to buy a piece of equity at the price of what the company is valued today. So anyway, all new for me, but sounded great. And I love the company and I love the mission. So I got this 80-page legal document that they would tell you, read it carefully. But it was drafted by some big law firm, and I obviously understood half of it. So you end up signing it, because everybody does. And then you just go work, right? And you go have a blast. So that was the start of this startup journey and the start of my career. But at some point, me and a good friend of mine, who also worked at the company, uh-huh. we started to think about potentially leaving. And a friend of mine decided to leave. And we started to realize, we didn't actually get equity in the company. We got uh-huh. an option to buy equity in the company. And when you're leaving, very often you're you get proposed a question, okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to exercise that right to buy equity in that company, or are you gonna let it go and give it back to the company? But exercising that right means paying money to the company to buy the shares. Uh-huh. But the hard part is that, and that's what happens and what most people get surprised by, is that you also need to pay tax on the difference in value that the company had basically increased by since you joined. And if a company grows fast, which a lot of fast-growing companies and startups do, especially if there's a lot of venture funding being poured into it, uh-huh. These valuations go through the roof. You've probably been seeing it, and I think a lot of folks in your podcast and the listeners, they know just as well. So these valuations keep going up and you can buy it for a very low price. But if the valuation is very high now, you get charged the tax bill on the difference. And that led into like the hundreds of thousands of dollars in my case. And then you're like, I don't know if I can even mention the word, but like, holy F, I can't.
Where do you get the money to like pay that tax bill?
Exactly. So yeah, we went through this very weird, like a few weeks and months of time trying to figure it out and failed. And that was really the starting point of SecFi, because we were like, holy shit, if we have this problem, and I was thinking about all my coworkers that worked in this company that did not know more about equity than I did when I joined. And you extrapolate this situation and you really started to talk to like other people working in other startups, you start to realize that this is like a huge problem. Like almost everybody working in a startup doesn't know how to handle this equity situation. And that was the starting point of SecFi. Like we wanted to solve that for people. Like we wanted to, it's almost this very boring, like or classical story. Like we experienced the problem and tried to solve it for others.
Yeah, you took that problem and convert that problem into a startup, which is wonderful. And I actually went to you guys' website, SecFi, and I looked at the story. It's something that a lot of people can draw upon, because this is not unique. This happens a lot in startup life. People just are not aware of it because it's not as highly publicized, but it's a big problem. And this leads me to my next question. So SecFi offers financial products that help employees unlock the value of their equity ahead of an exit. And this is all without them having to sell their shares. That's actually directly from your website. Yeah. Could you please explain to us how such an option will be exercised and how people can benefit from knowing when to apply this strategy?
Yeah, really good question. I mean, so what SecFi really does is two things. It's twofold. Like there's two elements to this. There's like helping people understand and strategize around their situation. That's one. Like, and the second piece is like, if you need money to help your exercise, we can give you that money. We can give you the financing for it. And basically online, we have an entire like suite of tools and planning and a planning framework that helps people like figure out, hey, does this work for me? And is this useful for me? And very often it comes down to three situations where it is useful for people. Like one is that if you're leaving your company and you want to go join your next gig because maybe another opportunity came up, or maybe the company, and this happens very often, has changed so much since you were there, like joining as employee number 30, but now there's 2,000 people. It's a very different company. Uh-huh. You're like, yeah, this is not for me anymore. Very often when you leave, like you need to make a decision on your equity. And if you can't afford it anymore, like, yeah, you're going to need a good solution. And there's all kinds of things you can do. But preaching to the choir here, obviously. But like, I think our solution is by far best and most economically interesting for most individuals. Like the second thing, which is a really good reason for people to do it, is that if you believe that your company is totally not at its peak of where it can end up with, you should exercise your stock options, because the longer you wait, the higher the tax bill is going to be. So the sooner you exercise then, even though you have a risk, obviously, because then you're tied to the fortune of the company. But if you believe that there's only upside there, exercising sooner rather than later means you're saving a lot on taxes. That's the reality. And then the third one is that, hey, I really believe in this company. I might already own equity in the company. I would love to make it liquid in some way. And this is obviously the last big problem on the private markets. Like if you own stock in a private company, it is not public. You can't just sell it as if you're a publicly traded company. We can actually give you liquidity and take based on how much equity you might own in a certain company. And you might pay that back at some point in the future, but you don't have to sell your shares for it. That's the beauty. So it's like a cheaper way to get liquidity, basically.
That's wonderful. Now for our listeners that are not familiar with SecFi, they're headquartered in Amsterdam. They have operations in San Francisco, and I believe they just opened up an office in New York City. So they're in the States as well. I have a follow-up question to this equity topic. I speak with a lot of founders of different startups, and one thing that they all lament about is trying to bring in key employees, because when you try bringing key employees, one of the challenges they face is everybody wants a lot of equity. And a lot of times you were speaking with people who have never really worked for a startup and they want to take out, they want to have themselves allocated a bigger percentage of the equity. So could you explain to us how the equity grants work and how the vesting period works, the vesting cycles, so that our listeners who may be facing in such a predicament can understand fully how the equity grants work?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very common situation, right? And this is for any founder that is trying to like build their company and wants to get key people on board. Like, you can't do it without giving them equity, because that's what we heard. Like, you probably don't have enough cash you want to hire a good top engineer, but at Google you make 400K.
You can afford it for a startup.
Exactly. So that's just not possible. Like, in the end, like my advice to a founder in this situation is, like, it depends a little bit where you are, right? Like, the earlier stage the company is, if you're thinking about like the first 5 to 10 hires, you can't give everybody 10%, right? Like, a lot of people might come in like, oh, I would love to get 10%. It sounds like a great number. Yeah, but then after 10 hires, 100% of the company is given away. Not possible. So very quickly, at the first 10 hires, depending on who exactly and how senior you are and how much impact they can have, like, you should think about a couple of percentage points. Like, the average startup would have available between every round of financing they do about 10% of the company to give away to new companies. So if you think about, hey, I just started, I maybe just raised an angel round naming a random number, like $500,000 or $200,000, and I'm going to hire my first 10 employees, you should probably give them 5 to 10%. If you then go to the next round, like, you raised a seed round or an A round, you're probably going to hire 30 people then. Those 30 people should also be spread like 5 to 10%. And
it's 5 to 10% of the valuation at that stage.
At that stage, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It's the percentage point of the company. So every time you raise a new round of funding, make available 10% of the company in stock options and give that away to that next group of individuals. And what you'll see in the Series B, well, you're going to hire probably not 30 people, but you might hire like 150 people. Uh-huh. So then the 5 to 10% is spread across 150 people, right? And there you'll see the percentage ownership you're giving away to new employees goes down, but because the valuation goes up, they might actually get in value like still a pretty decent like dollar amount of equity value.
That's good. Thanks for that explanation and the example you gave. Now I want to ask you a question that has something to do with the pandemic. So there's been a lot of change and innovation in different industries within the last 18 months since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Yep. What are some of the big trends that you believe will have the greatest impact on how employees choose to exercise their equity options? And that's for both now and in the future.
Yeah. So this is a super interesting question. I think super interesting question. I think there are three really big trends sort of, or like things happening that are influencing these decisions. Like, one is that, like, remote working, right? It's the no-brainer here. Like, people who were basically like asked to like work from like, let's call it the Bay Area, San Francisco, like, you would be working in California and you're going to be paying California tax on anything you do. But correct, if you move to Texas, for example, or Florida, like, the tax regime is very different there.
Very different.
So the implications on exactly, no state tax. So that's a huge difference. Like, in California, you might pay like 14% income tax purely from a state point of view, and like 12.5% like capital gains tax on any like equity earnings or payouts that you might get. And that's not there in
Texas or Florida.
And so what you see happening is that people like that before might have not been able to like exercise or didn't see the business case or the use case for it, but because the tax situation is so changing so dramatically for people when you live in California or in Florida now, it changes that decision-making framework altogether. So we see, because of this remote working trend, people moving around, and like, it drives different decision-making. And we see that actively like on the platform itself. I think second trend, they call it like the great resignation, which has been going on, but, and I think it is really real. There are so many people that I think have reconsidered, like in the past, like 18 months, like, is this really what I want to do?
Yes.
Is this what I want to keep on doing? And I think it has led to way more people than normal deciding to like switch jobs. And as I, this is how we founded, like, and how I founded ZecFi. Like, this is how we started to learn that, holy shit, you need to take action when you move jobs. So,
right.
It is an immediate need to like figure out what you need to do with your equity if you decide to like switch jobs. So that's what we're seeing. And I think the last one is like tech valuations, right? Like the amount of IPOs that are happening and the amount of unicorns that are being born and the amount of venture funding that's being poured into this industry and into startups is like massively increasing valuations of companies. And that has big influences on equity. So if you think that you're working at one of those companies, like, like act quickly, because before you know it, the company raises another like $200 million round at a before $200 million valuation, but suddenly it's a $2 billion valuation. That's right. A 10x increase, but it might also mean that your tax bill has a 10x increase and it goes from 50K to 500K. And people don't really think about that. So the implication of this entire like venture frenzy that's going on is really impacting people's lives without them understanding that that's going on.
Yeah, and I think it's the timing is relevant for even this podcast because, like you said, there's an all-time high of people quitting their jobs and going to new companies, and they don't think about the repercussions that's going to affect their equities that they hold on the companies that they're leaving. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I mean, these are like the we help people like every other day, right? We have an entire team of equity strategists and an online platform where people like manage their and try to plan for their equity. And the situations where people have left already and haven't planned in advance, they are sometimes really painful. Yes. And we've heard of people like losing out on so much what they've had built because they aren't able to like figure it out in time. And that's just not great.
All right.
I think it's also responsibility of the employer, by the way, like really educating their staff.
The employees and equity holders.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about regulation. In the finance sector, it's typically meant to protect consumers and promote financial stability, among other things. Yeah. What are some of the tougher challenges facing financial regulators, and this is not just in Europe, even in the States and generally worldwide, when they deal with fintech companies?
Yeah, I mean, I think fintech is driving a lot of innovation, right? But I think innovation also comes with different ways that things are being done. And for a regulator, it's always like hard to catch up, right? Like you're always like five steps behind. And I think rightfully so, there's regulation to help protect the consumer. I think the vast majority of like fintech companies are not there to like harm the consumer in any way. I think they're bringing a lot of new value. That's why a lot of customers are flocking to these new fintech services. It's not because they feel like value being added to their lives with these new products. And I think the hard part is like managing this really fast growing and like these fast growing companies coming up with new products like so fast these days. And for a regulator to keep up, you see them like, okay, let's put the brakes on because it's better safe than sorry. Yeah, but that's holding back innovation again. It's not always that that the company is like on a harmful trajectory, I think. It's a tough one, right? Like I really believe that most companies have the best in mind for their customers. But I also understand
because a lot of the laws that exist today were not meant to address future changes in the technology sector, and that's why you're seeing. And the example you just said is where different governments are coming up with different regulations to address some of the fintech things that are going on. All right, I want to switch on to my. This is something that's a very hot topic: virtual currencies, Bitcoin. They have been gaining popularity in recent years, as we've seen nations such as El Salvador fully adopting Bitcoin as legal tender. How do you think this would affect companies like ZecFi going forward? And a follow-up to that is, do you foresee equity compensation being made through virtual currencies?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think first of all, like I love what's happening in this space. Like we watch it closely.
Uh-huh.
I think some cool trends are perhaps already moving in that direction. Like Coinbase is paying their employees part in Bitcoin, right? Like there are like starting points of these trends where you see like, hey, this is really moving in that direction. On the other hand, like we also have to be realistic that it's also in its infancy in a way. And right. If I think about like equity compensation, like the hard part there is that, and I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but like owning, for example, a stake in your company through like a token, for example, uh-huh. And it really being like on the blockchain, on a, like a, like an independent blockchain, right? Like not a managed blockchain, but like a pure public blockchain. Mm-hmm. Like that means that the entire company also needs to be on there. And everything related to equity in the company, like fundraising, all of that should be handled in there. And I don't think the many like blockchains that are out there today are ready to handle like all the complexities and the intricacies of how a company funding structure is like set up and all the exceptions that you're going to go through. And so the question is like, are people then really ready that when you have like conflicts or disputes mm-hmm. or anything else, like there's no way to like handle it like in another, like to a court anymore, because yeah, no, it was already transferred. Like this equity from Fred just went to me, Fred, uh-huh. for example, and we can't turn it back because we don't even know who owned what and so on. Like this lack of control, I don't know if we're ready for it yet. I do see a couple of companies moving in that direction. I think it's super interesting, but I think we're definitely a few years out is my expectation.
And you're right, because there's a lot of volatility that's involved with the cryptocurrency side. And if a whole company has to be there, I was actually going to ask you this, you may have already answered it, but have you guys seen at SecFi any company that's granting equity in the form of digital currencies?
I haven't seen that yet. Okay. If a podcast listener knows of one, like reach out to Fred and tell me, because I'd love to speak to them. I think it's hugely interesting, obviously, but I haven't seen them in a big scale yet. No.
So is there any impact that fintech will have on the structure and role of traditional banks and venture capitals when it comes to raising capital for startups? And in your previous examples of working for startups, do you have any examples that you can share that relate to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing is, I don't think venture funding is and the VCs are really gonna go away. But I think what is highly interesting, and maybe this will speak to it a little bit, is that, for example, so many clients that we work with, after their companies go public, for example, they go on ending being like investors themselves. You end up seeing like more peer-to-peer like investing. So mm-hmm. it's like really around the banks and the traditional VCs. But people just using the money that they've earned, building their own startup, like investing that back into the ecosystem. You have a company like AngelList, for example, and the venture syndicates that they're setting up, where people are just acting as like VCs themselves, basically, and investing back into the ecosystem. I think that's hugely interesting. I think there's a lot of growth there. And I think you'll see that down the line, more and more, especially in the earlier stages, you'll see more funding like that. But if you think like big funding rounds, before that's really like done around like the big VCs, I think that's also gonna take some time, to be really honest.
Okay, I want to ask you one other thing. So you came from corporate life and you now work for a startup. What has been the biggest difference from a strategic standpoint as far as how you used to work on the corporate side compared to how you enjoy your work now on a startup?
Yeah. I mean, great question. I mean, I can't tell you. It's so hard to compare. Like every day is different, right? Like uh-huh. in the corporate world, I could sort of like imagine what the next year was going to look like because like the career paths and all of these things
are very predictable.
Very predictable. And like, it is so much more exciting in my experience to have like this, actually, it's like, you don't even know, right? Like we're building this thing as we're going, and it can end up being like anywhere a year from now. And I think that's just hugely interesting.
It's a big motivation too.
It's a huge motivation. Like what we've seen in the research that we've done, There's like so many clients that end up going into the startup space. Like people get hooked. Like they do one and then they do the other and then they do the other. Like it's like you start as employee number 200, then the next startup you're employee number 40 because you grew in your career and as a person, and you yeah. end up joining as like a higher level manager in the next startup, and before you know it, like the fourth startup, you're employee number one, right? And you you're the founder of your own startup. Exactly. And I think a lot of people like have that drive in there, and I think it's very exciting. It's a lot. So of fun.
That's a good segue to my last question. One of my favorite questions that I ask all the guests, which is, what has helped you get to where you are today, and what of advice would you give to someone that wants to have a career similar to yours?
Yeah, and so I think great question. If I'm like really honest, I think it's about finding like really good and strong teammates, because you can't do it by yourself, especially if the company starts to grow quickly. It is impossible. Find really good people just like you that just make you better. I think the second one is like a strong VC definitely also helps. Like they know what they're doing, and they give, especially if they can give good feedback, and they can really open up doors and make you better as a person. Also like really, really helpful. And I think the last one, like I think if you want to be successful, be really critical to yourself. Because I think everybody makes mistakes. You learn as you go. I think the best entrepreneur is constantly thinking, yeah, okay, was this the right thing I did like 6 months ago or 12 months ago? Don't learn from those and be able to say like, yeah, I screwed up and then fix it. So constantly reflect, ask for feedback, get feedback from internal, external stakeholders, and try to get better. You need to have that attitude, I think, if you want to be successful.
Yeah, so seeking constructive feedback. Hey, yeah. Fred, thank you for taking your time to talk to us today. This has been wonderful. We've learned a lot, and hopefully our listeners will have the same takeaways from listening to this podcast.
Love it. Love it. Thanks so much for having me, and take care.
All right. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.